Talking to this very beautiful woman, we get into the house again. Remember, no language, no communication. As we start to have sex, she looks at me in the eyes in the deepest way. Yeah, and she says, "Gaudria, I'm a little drunk." She's a little drunk, in my mind. Has gone. And I started thinking like, what the? Hello, welcome to a new conversation completely in English where we are going to practice your listening, your grammar, vocabulary, all through the best practice you can do with your English, which is to consume it, to listen to it. I have invited my neighbor Daniel to have this conversation because he has some very interesting experiences that he is sharing in this conversation. He was a member of the military in the United States, he moved to Colombia and lived in the communes, and in general he is a very thoughtful man, with many opinions and perspectives, funny stories about our cultural differences, which I am sure you will love. If you do not understand English very well yet, do not worry. You can put subtitles in both English and Spanish, but try to challenge yourself a little. Try watching the conversation with English subtitles, and if there are some parts that you feel you do not understand very well, you can rewind and put those parts with Spanish subtitles. I hope you like it. I'm going to like it. I'm Kale Anders, your English coach and your favorite Swede. Let's get started. I was working in Australia for a Swedish company. I had 1 year left to finish my master's degree back home, but I decided I wanted to travel.
Why Australia? Because the startup company had just expanded their business to Australia and they needed someone there. And so they asked me, "Hey, do you want to work in Sweden or Australia?" And I had just been on an exchange year in Mexico for a year, so I was high on the whole traveling. So many questions for you. Did you get at the surfing? Did you go to the outback? Like what was? I did. If you were to highlight one point, whether it be recommending to your friends or family or people watching your podcast, what would be one thing about Australia that really stood out? Nature would be one thing about Australia that really stood out. Stand out means to highlight or stand out. And stood out is the past tense of stand out, as he highlighted. So he wanted to know what was the thing that caught your attention the most or what was most special about Australia. Australia guy. Refers to the countryside, a nature, but very remote, very far from civilization. The outback. I lived in Australia. Australia is a huge country, so there's a lot of nature super far from any city. So we call it the back. The outback specifically. I mean, you can go 15 minutes outside the city and you're in like this huge, like what's it called? Like ecological, like what's it called when you can't touch the land? Like a reserve, a massive one. We went to Fraser Island. I actually thought you were Australian. Really? When I met you? Yeah, I actually thought you were Australian. I actually thought you were Australian. Thought is the past tense of the verb think, to think. So when he says, "I actually thought," that means I really thought. I actually thought you were Australian. I really thought that you were Australian. Fraser Island. Australian. Weir is outsider. Is outside Australia beautiful? Dingo is like a wild dog in the wild in Australia and very dangerous. Australia barely because they used I was like what the off the coast of Australia in the 50s I think they blew up a lot of bombs nuclear bombs and so it basically just opened up the entire sky. How long did you stay out there for on that island? Two nights and in Australia to total a year and a half. It's weird. I'm trying to like speak English and not Spanish right now. Yeah, crazy. No, but I lived in Sweden. I studied engineering at a good university. Had the opportunity to do a year abroad. Mexico. Stanford, Australia. It's an expression that means me too. Austral. you know, introduced American culture just in love with it immediately. Let me ask a question real quick. Did you believe that you were going to be able to speak Spanish before moving to Mexico? And I only ask that because I always thought that I took Spanish in high school, took a couple courses, you know, Duolingo obviously, but I, for some reason, thought I was never going to be able to learn a second language and also never going to be able to learn how to play music. Yeah, until actually immersing myself into the language. So, did you already have any type of foundation before living in Mexico? Did you have any type of foundation before moving to Mexico? Did you have? Tuviste? Remember that we ask questions in English with the verb do. Do you have? Tienes. Did you have? Tuviste? So, the question, did you already have any foundation? That means, did you already have any foundation in your Spanish before going to Mexico? I did. I had studied a little bit of Spanish in school and I had done dueling and stuff, but I had the conviction because English is a second language in Sweden, right? We don't learn English until we're like 8 years old or 10 years old basically, and then at 13, 14 they start teaching you a third language. It's not very serious, but English, I spoke fluent English when I was 16 years old, right? And so your brain was a little more plastic, so you probably picked it up a lot faster. Yeah, I mean, and I also had the, I think, the conviction that you are able to do it. Like the security and the certainty that I'm actually able to do this. That's, well, I feel like part of it is not being shy in public and not speaking. I think the biggest obstacle I'm having right now is there's a couple friends I hang out with. Two women and then two men, and we spend so much time together, and when I had met them, they spoke no English. Kind is a filler word, it means like cliche. Garbage. Conversations with worst English Spanish. I have to be like, hey, Laura, speak to me in Spanish, please. Like real Spanish. But to kind of go back on what you were saying is I feel like having courses or immersing yourself into the culture is going to be a lot better than taking classes and say, yeah, look, the scientific definition of language acquisition. We don't say language learning because you don't learn language. You acquire language as exposure to messages, sentences, phrases that contain an unknown word and you know the rest of the words. So if you want to learn a new word, for example, if you don't know what usual means, I don't know what that means. Perfect. And then I might say, no, he got kidnapped because he went to this dangerous area because he was too naive. That was a bad example. Someone who gets taken advantage of sometimes because they put themselves in bad situations because they might be a little bit naive. Quote. I'm definitely that word. I'm serious. In English? In English, it would be almost like a false sense of security. Yeah. Or risk like recidivism. Or I have the word on the tip of my tongue. I have the word on the tip of my tongue. That means, I have the word on the tip of my tongue. I understand the word, but I don't know what it is. I have the word on the tip of my tongue. I have the word on the tip of my tongue, but let's say okay, so for the sake of the explanation. So let's say you want to learn the word na. Okay. Right. Na is in Genu, that's the word na. That was where it was going, right? But you acquire that word in Genu without getting a translation to it if I had done a better example. Right? So that's how we actually learn languages, by consuming sentences. And like a child, the sentences are very small, like hello, good morning, food, things like that. But we acquire languages when there is one unknown word in full sentences and we know the rest of the world's words, right? And so what you're saying with, you know, being immersed in a culture and in consuming a lot, that's so true, because what you need to do to learn a language is just consume a lot. So, it's cause and effect. It's cause and effect. So, it's cause and effect. If you want to speak better Spanish, you got to listen to more Spanish. If you want to write with better grammar, you got to read more Spanish with good grammar. That's how language learning works. And what happens is when you live in another country, You obviously need to consume the language a lot because you're surrounded by people who speak that language. And so it's just a perfect way to learn a language because you are automatically doing what you're supposed to be doing, right? But it's not necessary. And that's the point I want to come across here, because a lot of my audience, they don't live in the US. They live here. They live in Latin America. And so they think, some of them, many of them, that they need to go to the US to learn English. They need to go to the UK. And that's just not true. I learned Portuguese from a hotel room in Cancun. I've learned French from here, from that desk over there, because I've been doing what you're supposed to be doing, which is consuming over and over again. So, there's a recipe for it. Yeah, there's a recipe. There's a specific way that has to be done. Exactly. I think one of the something interesting that I found living in is one of the trickiest things for me. One of the trickiest things to me. Tricky. Difficile. Trickiest más difícil. One of the trick things for me. Una de las cosas más difíciles para mí. Is a caja. Yeah. So, I remember being in a taxi and I was telling the taxi driver a funny joke or a funny story, and he said to me, ah, caja. Yeah, but in my mind, and this happened, this isn't just one, this happens to me a lot here, right? Chimba, caja, Paris, taco. Yeah. And for me, I think there was a little bit of a learning curve, because when those words came up in sentences, when those words would come up in conversation in their true form, cajas, I would be hesitant to use the word, because I started realizing that a lot of words, especially in this city, they have a lot of different significance. So like, for example, it means funny, but it also means box. Box, listen to the Native American pronunciation. They don't say books box, they say box. Box. Vowels in English are long. They pronounce it super long. Box. Okay, that's why a gringo says, for example, comida, because there are a lot of vowels in that word, or IA, or I. So, if you want to sound a little bit more native, a little bit more American, pronounce the vowel sounds longer. Box. Yeah. And when you think of like language theory in general, at least the way my brain functions is I want to make a connection between why, like, maybe let me ask you, do you know I don't do? You know why the word caja is used? Like, why do they use the word caja? I don't know that. Like, those are the things that help me learn language, trying to understand the significance between the words and why. And that is one of the main problem. What's up, Kay? What's up, Yuha? Is what's more? Exactly. Like, why are we saying what's more? And how does that connect to the culture? Even a lot of the people who are listening probably don't even realize why they say the things they say. Why do we say what's up? Exactly. Do you know? No, I don't. But I would be really interested to find out. Yeah, and you know, this is actually the one of the main problems being a language learner as an adult, because we're too analytical. We're too smart. We're too thinking. We're thinking too much. And that stops us from just consuming and just accepting the meaning of whatever we're consuming for what it is. Right? So if you actually want to learn a language as fast as possible, you should adopt the mentality of a child, the child mentality. If a child makes a mistake, they don't feel bad. If a child says something wrong, their parents don't tell them, hey, that was wrong because of this and this and this. They just repeat what the child said, but in the correct way. So, they get the consumption. A child is never, you know, embarrassed about the fact that their language isn't fully developed. Wow, give me a stop shift right now. So, that's if you want to learn language, adopt the child mentality. You are a child in a new language. You are a child. Behave accordingly. I think now I'm at the point where I want to sound cool, right? Like, yeah, like children really, they're worried about sounding cool yet. Now I know enough words to where when I'm communicating with people, especially being here so long and spending time in certain neighborhoods, you hear words like bacano and like, what was it today? Today I asked a local today. I wanted him to tell me what word would be used for edgy. Yeah, like someone looks edgy. What do you know? Is there a word for that edgy? Cool. So, somebody was talking to me yesterday, one of my buddies here from Cali. And he was like, Dan, he was like, you know, when you're talking about your business, or when you're talking to women, or you're talking to some of the locals here, you haven't really developed your personality within your language yet. Like when you're talking cool guy, right? Quirks. Quirks means peculiarities. when you speak in your native language, you have many quirks, right? That you haven't been able to bring to your second language yet, and it's something that takes time. It's a problem for all language learners that we can't express our full personality in a second or third language because those quirks using the language come after many years of mastering the language. So be patient, guys, and remember that language learning is a marathon, not a race. Our language really helps personify our personality.
Exactly.
But in Spanish, unless I'm doing what you told me to do and really putting myself into that child's mentality, I wonder and you need to not do this. How stupid I sound or how boring I sound, right? I want to have more of an edge. I want to have more of an edge. I want to have more of an edge. Edge really means edge. For example, the edge of the table, but it also means advantage. Okay, I want to have an advantage. I have more of a speak. It's hard to articulate what I'm trying to say. I think you're kind of understanding that. I know I want to sound cool, right? I want to be able to speak in and let someone that I just met learn my personality a little bit from my language. And also because you're a smart guy. And so if you talk in another language, it hurts your ego when you talk in a new language because you feel less intelligent and you worried that people are going to think that you are less intelligent. And that for me was a big ESP sipily going on, like a first date or something, you know, dude. I went to a first date and I actually told a girl's mother that I'm horny. But you were trying to say you hot.
Exactly.
Yeah, dude, I've made so many mistakes. But then what I came to, I think I've done the same thing by saying two different things. Like an old woman in the ether was buying all. I was excited to try this fruit I never tried, and I told this old lady do. Oh no, like I was trying. I don't know what it looked like, but oh my god. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if someone said that to just imagine if someone said it to you, right? Like obviously you're also an intelligent guy, so you probably work in language, understand? But your average person in the States have someone looked at you and said something like,
holding a watermelon. I'm so horny. Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like sometimes I've been here now for almost 2 years. Yeah. And I'm understanding now for the first time in my life. And again, sometimes even in my language in English, it's hard to articulate what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
and speaking with a language expert, I am actually learning like so much of the science that goes into communicating, and it's actually really profound. There's actually some good news, and that is to all of us who are ashamed of speaking in another language, there's actually some good news, and the good news is you never need to speak in a language to learn how to speak in a language. You can be complete. What do you mean by that? You can be completely silent for 2 years just consuming, and then if you need to talk after 2 years, it just flows out of your mouth perfectly because that's how language learning works. And so with music too. What you consume has to be comprehensible. So it's called, in language learning science, we call it comprehensible input. So if you want to learn by watching movies, listening to music, reading stuff online, you have to understand it, because if you don't understand it, you're not learning it. Remember, it comes back to that definition of language learning. To learn something, you need to understand 99% of it. Just there just has to be there. There can just be like an unknown thing. We call it I+1 sentences. So, it would make more sense based on what you're saying for someone trying to learn Spanish to watch a movie in Spanish with English subtitles, or to watch a movie in English with Spanish subtitles. Or is there no correlation what you're trying to say? You should never watch a movie with subtitles in your language.
Why?
Because your brain is automatically going to focus on what's most like a movie in Chinese. You're not going to learn any Spanish, little.
What?
But on the flip side. On the flip side. On the flip side. On the flip side, very hard to put on a Spanish movie and put Spanish subtitles and understand anything. So there's a gap there, and what one method that we use in my course is we try to make the students independent of the subtitles by going through the same piece of content at different levels. So let's say I tell you a story in Spanish, and the first time you hear the story, you're going to hear it with English subtitles, alright? Then I'm going to read you the same story again, well, with Spanish subtitles, and then I'm going to read it to you again without subtitles. Would you watch it the first time in your native language? That's okay. The absolute first time. Exactly. That's okay. So, if you watch a movie today in Spanish with English subtitles, that's okay if you're going to watch it again. Okay, that's okay. Interesting. So, coming back to what I was saying, there's some hope to all of us insecure people who don't want to be embarrassed in public. You don't really need to talk. Conversation practice actually serves you not because you're going to improve your speaking, but because you're going to improve your confidence. You're going to get rid of fear and shame and mental blocks. So that's why in my course we have something called the Conversation Club, which is basically you go in a group with other people online in a video call and you just talk, zero correction, zero criticism, and just talking. Not for the sake of improving your speaking, because improving your speaking you do listening okay, for the sake of improving your confidence and just being in a group where no one's judging you when referring to confidence specifically. Yeah, I struggle the most on talking with older people, especially here in Medellin. I don't understand why, but they don't understand anything that I say. In Spanish or English? In Spanish, yeah. But it does all start with having the confidence to speak in the first place. Yeah. So, touch on your point. To touch on your point, para tocar tu punto, para referirme a la conclusión que acabas de dio. Something like that. On your point, I think that conversation club would really be beneficial to me, not only just to learn the language, but to actually build up the confidence that I need to get into a taxi and talk to a PA. Exactly. A pisa bijito who, when he speaks to me, it sounds like he's speaking a different language. I'll tell him, you know, it is pays, and he'll look at me and say no. And in my mind I'm thinking, okay, this is one of those idas. Yeah, this is one of the old pies of men who does not understand anything unless I'm speaking it specific. Yeah, but that does two things to me. It one gets me frustrated. Yes. Because I'm a human, I get frustrated at him. Why do you not understand me? It really almost like retards my confidence. It makes it almost like debilitates me for the next time I get into attacks. I see man that's over 70 years old. I don't want to speak Spanish. That's also been another one of my struggles here, is some people really understand me and some people don't understand a damn thing I say. So I don't know what I'm saying correctly. And then that's not even incorporating the costenals who speak really fast. I haven't even met an old person, costen. Yeah.
Do you have a hard time speaking to like some of the older people who have the really thick accents, or you pretty much got it?
I have a hard time with children. Interesting. Understanding. Yeah, just understanding and talking, because you talk in a different way with children, and I've never practiced that in my entire life. And so what you never practice, you don't have confidence. And imagine, like, you can put the most confident guy in an airplane to fly 200 passengers across the Atlantic Ocean. He's not going to be very confident. You know something I know about, children are good at putting together puzzles though. So like you can just speak in like code words and children are going to figure out what you're trying to say. Like there'll be a mother and her child on the side of the road. Yeah, and I'll get to a conversation with them and the child will be like assisting the mother to understand what I'm saying. I think there's something magical there. I think kids can definitely put things together a lot. Yes. Here I use a contraction of I have. What I have found, lo que he encontrado. Found is the past tense of the verb find, to find. Found, I found or found. What found, lo que he encontrado, and is, we should never actually judge ourselves based on our speaking capacity, because our speaking capacity is a consequence of our listening capacity, and there's always going to be a gap. Your listening is always going to be three levels above your speaking, and so what you should always judge yourself on is your listening ability, your ability to understand. Because also what creates fluency in a conversation, understanding, comprehension, if you understand what he says, right? And he understands somewhat what you say. If you use your arms and hands and stuff, you have a conversation, right? But if there's no comprehension, there's no fluency. There's no conversation. Understand? Right? So I got the main focus should be listening. Don't care about speaking. Don't worry about speaking. Pronunciation, by the way, which is probably one reason why he doesn't understand you, is something that comes later, right? You hear my English right now. It's pretty good, but I used to talk like this with a very Swedish accent. It's very horrible to listen to and very hard for some Americans to understand. But I've practiced, but more so have I listened to a lot of Americans during 15 years just consuming. And so pronunciation, I tell my students pronunciation is 8,090% listening, 10% training. It's actually harder for Spanish speakers to have a good pronunciation in English than it is for you to have a good pronunciation in Spanish. And that's because in English you have 44 sounds. In Spanish has about 24 sounds. So there are 20 new sounds or more actually that the Spanish speakers need to learn to be able to pronounce good English. So English is definitely more difficult than English is more difficult in with pronunciation and with listening. With listening because it's a non-phonetic language. What does mean? What that means is that every letter is not pronounced the same way in every single word, or a letter can be pronounced in different ways. Spanish, the most phonetic language is actually Finnish. So if you look at a Finnish text, it's going to look really weird. So many letters, like the words are this long. That's because they pronounce every single letter all the time in the exact same way. Spanish is more like that. So learning Spanish pronunciation is a bit easier because they don't eat the words or letters as much as, for example, apple or ape. Exactly. Apple or ape. Okay, wow, interesting. Yeah. That's super interesting. Talk to me about you. Skip that part because the conversation was my experience. Medicine has basically evolved around getting over that language barrier. Language barrier, difficulty since arriving in Medellin. Medellin in place. Did you come to Medellin? Why did you come to Medellin? Obviously, we are using the auxiliary verb do to ask questions in English. Why do you come to Medellin? Why do you come to Medellin? Why did you come to Medellin? Because you came to Medellin. Do you see how English grammar is so simple? And it's because we are using these auxiliary verbs, helping verbs, to help us not have to conjugate a bunch of verbs. Just conjugate that verb and the rest stays the same. A cool thing about English. Why did you come to Medellin in the first place? It's a good thing question. I had a pretty decent business in the States. COVID, typical COVID story. Business got destroyed and wanted to kind of start off somewhere. Actually went to the airport and I, never been to Colombia before. I was just a little frustrated at the US. And I told the lady at the desk of America Airlines, I was like, hey, I want the next flight out of the country. I don't care where it is. Quote, wow, it doesn't matter to me. Wow. It was either, I think it was Lithuania or Medellin. Wow, and I came to Medellin. Never been to Colombia before ever. Got off the plane. Nothing against Lithuania, but you made a good decision. You know, I love it here. And now that I'm learning the language, it's definitely things are going a lot smoother. I can tell you actually funny story here. So, first off, just to throw this out there, I paid $400 for my first taxi from the airport to Poblado because I didn't know any better. 400,000 Colombian P, and as you know, it should have been Oconta to CN. Just before I get into the story, other than just being completely taken advantage of as a gringo here, but it's not anything. To be taken advantage of means to be taken advantage of. Take advantage is to take advantage. So when someone says, I don't like to be taken advantage of, it means I don't like to be taken advantage of. To be taken advantage of, literally. They're trying to learn that there's no hatred towards the people here. I love the culture. I absolutely love it here. So getting off the plane, knowing no Spanish, for me, I looked at it as an adventure. And I knew it was going to be a problem. I just didn't realize the level or the amount of issues I was going to have moving forward. So, I had never really been with a Colombian woman. Everyone says Colombians are the most beautiful women in the world, which they are very beautiful. And I actually came here looking for more of a stable relationship, to be honest.
But again, remember, so as I tell this story, remember there's zero ability for me to speak Spanish. I just can't speak any Spanish, nothing.
So, I go to a club out here. I think it was called Negro.
Yeah.
And been there with about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Talking to this very beautiful woman.
We're not really talking.
No, we're using translator. She doesn't seem to mind.
So, okay.
She doesn't seem to mind.
Dot.
No parece que le importa. Mind is the mind, but to mind means to be bothered. So when someone says she doesn't seem to mind, it means she doesn't seem to care. She doesn't seem to mind. Seem is to seem. She doesn't seem to mind. She doesn't seem to care that I don't know any Spanish, but the conversation flows through the translator. I think Spanish ga. To say drunk. I was getting a little drunk. Every single guy's eating. Spanish, I knew what the word meant.
Yeah.
So we get in the taxi and we're going back to my place and my phone died. So in my mind I'm thinking it's not a big deal.
We get back to the house.
I'll plug it in. Not a big deal.
No es gran cosa.
Deal es un trato.
No es un trato grande.
It's not a big deal that my cell phone died on the way to my house, because we were both going home anyway. Hero. Instant Parks. Bill. So just a little aside part of the story is some of these taxi drivers leaving that nightlife part of the city, as you know, will try to upsell and try to get more money out of you. So in my mind she's arguing with the taxi driver and I don't really understand what's going on, getting pretty heated, trying to charge me like getting pretty heated. Heated means hot. They're getting really hot. They're getting angry, mad in the taxi, because the taxi driver wanted to charge them more and she, the girl she was with, didn't like that the taxi driver tried to take advantage of Daniel. I was here. Looking back at that was a good girl.
Yeah.
So again, not speaking the language and she's so hot. I was just like, give him 500. I don't want to get out of this taxi.
Yeah.
Eventually we get into the house. I can't find my phone charger. Her phone's not working. She's naked within like 10 minutes. I was like, wow, this is my first experience in like my first real experience in total. Not just with women, just one of my first real experience. This woman's naked in 10 minutes. Quote, yeah. And I'm thinking, oh my God, is that how it's going to be here? I was very dog when I was young.
Dog
has the same double meaning in English. No language, no communication. As we start to have sex, she looks at me in the eyes in the most profound way.
Yeah.
And she says, I gonorrhea.
What?
And gone in the States, as it is here, is a sexual disease.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a little drunk. She's a little drunk. In my mind, she's telling me that she has gone. I can't even laugh. I remember how I felt. I remember feeling disgusted and dirty, like, oh my God, this is my first Colombian experience. I just got an STD. Quote, STD, sexually transmitted disease. She shouted, like some people do here in Colombia, here in Medellin, there's gonorrhea, which is a sexually transmitted disease, but it's also a common saying here. So he thought she was saying that she has that disease. This is my first Colombian experience. I just got an STD. And I remember my body lost its ability to perform, obviously, and I wanted her to leave my home. Yes,
So I said to her in English because there's no Spanish being spoken.
The phones weren't charging. I'm pretty much asking her like she has to leave my house.
I want to take a shower. I feel really weird.
Why did she say that?
Remember how we were talking about the watermelon example?
Right.
I'm horny. Imagine if you were in the United States as a Spanish-speaking woman.
Yeah,
and you're getting ready to have intercourse or have sex with an American man. He looks you in the eyes and says the word herpes.
Yeah,
what would you think? Like, why would you say that?
Exactly.
So I'm trying to get her to leave. She's starting to get emotional. She's crying. She looks like she's really embarrassed. Like, looking back at it now, I think she thinks maybe I like her body or I wasn't attracted. I don't know what it was, but this girl was obviously hurt, and I'm very confused as well. I just want to take a shower and go to bed and go to the doctor's in the morning. So I asked her to leave. I was kind of a little bit. I didn't pay for Uber or nothing just because I was like, why would you come to my house with Garia? For me, this was like a pretty big thing.
Yeah.
And she leaves the next day. I go to the doctor again, not being able to speak Spanish, and I say to the doctor the word Garia. Instantly thinks, oh, well, let's give this guy a vaccination. Yeah, he gives me a shot. A shot is a shot. It's also a taking of a photo, but it can also be an injection. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm good. He gives me a pill shot. I'm good. Yeah. That night I'm at a restaurant and I see a guy with a shirt on that says gone. No. And I started thinking. I'm like, what the is going on? Why? I obviously realized that there's something missing from the puzzle. Yeah, obviously. Now I understand that gonorrhea is a word and how do you pronounce it correctly? Gonorrhea. Gonorrhea. Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, you know. So, yeah. That was one of my first experiences here with language and just my first experiences in general. I saw the girl a couple weeks later. Yeah, and she wouldn't even talk to me. Oh, did you explain? I didn't even have the heart. I was just so embarrassed myself and I'm sure she was embarrassed.
Dude, that's the craziest story. Yeah, God, I mean that word is, it's just a disgusting word to be a part of culture. It's disgusting. Can't believe it. I don't know why people say it. I hate it. It's the worst word that they have, like how that word started, how it got here. Yeah. I think I started using that word really when I started living, and so I lived in Amigado. I also lived in Anavi, moved into Pablo Escobar Suna for like months.
Why?
Living in the for me was initially for me to practice gratitude.
Yeah,
and I really wanted to immerse myself in the language because I thought that would be the best way for me to learn some of the local words.
So, Daniel went to live in the communes in Medellin to do 100% immersion. Not hear any English to really get to know the culture and improve his Spanish. Very cool, and obviously learn from all the history they have there. Living in the for me was initially for me to practice gratitude. Yeah,
and I really wanted to immerse myself in the language because I thought that that would be the best way for me to learn some of the more local words.
Yeah,
aside from your Instagram obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah. A lot of those people don't even have, in the most respectful way, they don't even have the capital to take a cab to Poblado to look for a job. Right? These people are hustling every day. They're working really hard and they're really truly grateful for the little things that they really are. You know, there were a couple families out there that I paid the rent a couple months. Even just helping the old people, you know, and I'm sure you've been into some of these communes. But the stairs, they go up high. So, every day I would get home, I would have to walk up these stairs up into the heavens. And you see these old people that are, you know, they're struggling, you know, they're walking up these stairs every single day. They're doing their whole life. I've met people that have never even left that neighborhood. They spent their entire life 75, 80 years old, never even left the neighborhood. There's one woman there that has become a friend of mine. She had a stroke about 10 years ago. She can't even leave her bed and she's never really left the neighborhood. They have never even left that neighborhood. They even had never left that neighborhood in their life. That's what he's explaining here. They spent their entire life 75, 80 years old, never even left the neighborhood. There's one woman there that has become a friend of mine. She had a stroke about 10 years ago. She can't even leave her and she's never really left. Left is the past tense of the verb leave, to leave. Conet. Chic Ultra. Going to this neighborhood where it's feared, right? So for me, I spread this word a lot because there's nothing really to fear in those. I wouldn't go in there at night drunk acting stupid. I don't know why it's feared there.
Yeah, right,
and that's a whole other conversation that we can have. But for me, it opened up my heart and kind of made me fall Colombia a little more, because that's Colombia.
Living in Poblado.
Yeah, that's Poblado. That's living in Poblado. You want to live in Colombia, you go to some going to some of the Pueblos.
I've been to Betulia, Euro.
Yeah. Alamatra AT, how me pronounce it, cuz no one understands ALTAMIRA. Spanish puts. On the test means to put something on the test, right?
Puts my Spanish.
Put my Spanish to the test.
Putinish the test.
I'm learning Spanish. I understand a lot of it, but when you speak fast, I don't understand anything. So, for me, the old people, I don't understand anything.
Exactly.
But I'm speaking to people in, like, deep into Colombia. When I go into Colombia, that's where my Spanish really gets tested. And living in the I got a lot of gratitude, and I also practice some real Spanish. It got me comfortable because those people aren't there no to make fun of you. Those people aren't there to steal your confidence from you. They're just happy to see a gringo in the right. What I'm trying to do here with all of this, obviously we're helping people learn English, but I mean, ever since I got here, I've had the same idea. Me, it hurts to see people suffering. I come from a country where there's no poverty. Education is great, available to everyone, for free,
right?
And it's just, to me, it's very clear that education is a big part of taking you out of that stuff.
Alright.
And so, I've always tried to encourage as many people as possible to just go online and consume and just try to just learn the language, because just learning English just opens up. It opens up so many, opens up the world to you, because you're able to educate yourself better, because for every good book in Spanish there's 10,000 in English, you know. So too, I wanted to hear your perspective on that as a living there. What type of advice would you give to those people?
Right?
So I think consuming is where it starts, and I think that there's a big difference between consuming and creating. And I feel like it's hard to create without consuming, but if you only consume and you never create, then you're doing yourself a disservice. So for example, you consumed, right? You consumed, you learned your Spanish, you did what you have to do to consume. But now look at you, you're a creator, you're a creating, and that's where the strength lies. That's where you put yourself to the true test. So, all these people that are learning from you, and whether they have money, they don't have money, whether they're Colombian, living in Argentina, living in the United States, okay, consume your courses, do what you have to do to learn the language, and then what's next? It doesn't stop once you learn the language. You have to create, you have to put yourself to the test and see what are you going to do with this language. Appearing. For all those people who live in places where opportunities don't appear all the time. That's what he's explaining here. That are living, you know, and in places where maybe opportunity isn't popping up every single day. Consuming is where it starts.
Yeah,
and a lot of people aren't even consuming. But once you're consuming and you have that confidence from your consumption and you've learned these tools, now it's time to start creating. And when you start creating, you start changing your life and you start changing the lives of other people as well as you, you know. And I think that's one of the things that I was drawn to about you so much, honestly.
Yeah.
But after being in war for so long,
yeah,
without getting emotional right now,
yeah,
I want to help anyone I can that is trying to help other people,
yeah,
and thank you. I'm serious, I'm getting a little choked up, but like it means a lot to directly touch on what you were saying. Consuming is where it starts. Then you have to have the balls. You have to try to create. Yeah, that's what this life is about. This life is about creation. Yeah, Daniel, thank you so much. Thank you, man. Quite a long interview, right? How did it go? How much were you able to understand? I'm pretty sure that if you've made it to this point, you've made a great achievement in your learning process because you spent a lot of time in native English and you understood it. So congratulations. Remember that if you want to continue improving your English, the best way to do this is within my program, where you have a study plan, prepared material, conversation groups, and even a private teacher just for you as part of a complete offer. If you want more information, click on the link below in the video description. And remember that you have a 2-week trial period, so you can try out all the services that are available within the course for 2 whole weeks and then make your decision. If you don't like it, for any reason, we will refund 100% of your investment. That way you can try everything before making your decision. Take good care of yourself and we'll see you in the next ones.